reminder, there's no classes coming Sunday. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening the two-edged sword, piercing into the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnishing to all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continuing our study this evening, where we're in Genesis 8, we'll pick up with Nick's big block of verses, verses 6 through 12. As believers in Jesus Christ, we're in one of two states. Spiritually, we're either out of fellowship under the rulership of our sin nature, or we're in a state of fellowship, spirituality, under the rulership of God the Holy Spirit. How we get out of fellowship is through personal sin in life. The mechanics to get back into fellowship is a rebound technique, 1 John 1:9, which is an application of doctrine that believers need to make and will make for the rest of their ongoing days while living in this body. If they desire to serve God, to please God, and to fulfill His plan for their lives, that demands that we deal with the sin nature appropriately before God. We put it in His case, so to speak, and especially as it comes to the assimilation of the truth of Bible doctrine, if indeed you want to hear it undistorted, purely the truth as is so intended. Otherwise, you will take it, you will rationalize it, you'll take it out of context, or if not outright reject it for being out of fellowship, letting your sin nature rule instead. So as is our custom, we give every believer maximum opportunity to once again profit from the next hour of their life at hand as we give you opportunity to rebound if necessary, starting with our normal word of prayer. Father, your plan is perfect, and we thank you for your absolute righteousness and justice in regards to all that concerns your plan, that you have made provision for fallen man to be able to apply themselves in the umbrella of righteousness that you have provided in this respect, that we can indeed, in spite of our failures and our weakness of flesh, know and understand your plan perfectly, in spite of all the antagonism and the lies of the world trying to disregard or beat down your plan. We thank you for allowing us to understand it and seeing it within the depth of which we do, and that you bless us once again this evening in our understanding of these things via God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, chapter 8, verses 1 through 14 is the final scene of the flood proper. In this particular section, we see the abatement of the flood waters eventually to the point that Noah and passengers are told by God to disembark from the ark. Up to verse 6, we have seen here that the water has now abated with some 2.5 months after it landed in the fifth month, the 150th day of the flood in the mountains of Ararat. And in spite of the ark landing, this does not mean that it's safe, that it's feasible for Noah and the family to leave the ark at that point. So what we see, 5 months into the flood, the ark hits solid ground, that they're on this ark for another 7 months, for a full year, before they actually leave the ark. So I have titled here verses 6 through 12, as Noah will investigate the situation, seeing where they're at and the condition of the planet, the patience and discernment of Noah. All right, looking here at the Hebrew. Then it came about at the end of 40 days. You have the wow consecutive, came about, came to pass. The imperfect cal verb, third masculine singular, hayah, H-A-Y-A-H. At the end of is our common masculine singular construct, preceded with the preposition men, M-I-N. Common masculine singular construct of the noun, kets, Q-E-T-S. Then 40 days is your adjective, cardinal adjective, both genders, plural, absolute, are bayim, A-R-E-B-B-A-Y-I-M. Followed with our noun for days, common masculine singular, absolute, yom. That Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Wow, consecutive. Our verb to open here is cal imperfect third masculine singular, fatek, P-H-A-T-A-C-H. Follow the proper noun, Noah. Sign a direct object. Then our noun for window. Sorry, still from Oklahoma, even though I try to be a Yankee. Common both singular construct noun. Our word here, which is the normal word for window, shalom, C-H-A-L-L-O-N. The window of the ark, definite article, our word for ark here, common feminine singular absolute, tebah, T-E-B-A-H. Which he had made, relative pronoun, asher, A-S-H-E-R. And then our verb, our making verb here to manufacture cow, perfect third masculine singular, asah, A-S-A-H. Verse 7, in conjunction with opening the window, he sent out a raven, and it flew here and there until the water was dried up from the earth. While consecutive, our verb here to send out is a PL, which is intensive, imperfect third masculine singular, shalak, S-H-A-L-A-C-H. Sign a direct object in the bird here in view, definite article, common masculine singular absolute, oreb, O-R-E-B, a raven. And it flew here and there. You had the wow consecutive, cal imperfect third masculine singular. First, our verb yatsa, Y-A, T-S-A, and it went forth, followed with the cal infinitive absolute, yatsah, repeated, and it went forth, going forth, and then the wow conjunction, and the second infinitive cal infinitive absolute here, shub, returning, S-H-U-B, and it went forth, going forth, and returning, translated, and it flew here and there. Until the water was dried up from the earth, until is your preposition ad, A-D. The waters, until drying up, first your cal infinitive construct, our verb to dry up, yabesh, Y-A-B-E-S-H. Until drying up, the waters, definite article, common masculine plural, noun absolute, mayim, M-A-Y-I-M. From, preposition men, M-I-N, upon, preposition all, the earth, definite article, our noun, eretz, E-R-E-T-S. Verse 8, then he sent out a dove from him. Well, consecutive, our verb here again to send out, shalak. S-H-A-L-A-C-H, again in the PL form, PL stem, intensive. Here, what he sent out, sign a direct object, definite article, common feminine singular absolute, the bird, Yona, Y-O-N-A, translated dove or pigeon. From with him, one that was obviously in his possession, preposition men, followed with the preposition with the third masculine singular suffix eth, from with him, E-T-H. For the purpose here, to see if the water was abated from the face of the land. Preposition lamed, with the cow infinitive construct ra'ah to see, or seen, r-a-a-h, denoting purpose, followed with the interrogative particle ha, h-a, translated if. Abated is our cow perfect third common plural of the verb kalal, q-a-l-a-l. Means slighted, of little account. Translated, abated. From the face of the land, definite article. The water, first, the water from the face of the land, definite article, common masculine plural. Mayim, repeated, M-A-Y-I-M. From, preposition men, upon, all, same construction we saw earlier. Our noun for face, or surface, common both plural construct, paneh, P-A-N-E-H. The ground, definite article, common feminine singular absolute, adama, A-D-A-M-A-H. And we see the success of the dove, the first attempt, but the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot. You have the wow conjunction, the negative particle lo, L-O, followed with the cow perfect third feminine singular or verb matsa, M-A-T-S-A, to find, it did not find, the dove, definite article, or common feminine singular noun, yona, a place, a resting place. Here you had a common masculine singular absolute, of the word Mahosha, Mahosha, M-O-H-O-C-H-A, a place literally to settle, hence a resting place. For the sole of her foot, preposition lamed, for in our noun for sole or palm, depending on what part of the anatomy you're looking at here, common feminine singular construct, kaf, C-A-P-H, followed with our noun, common feminine singular constructive third feminine singular suffix, her foot, regel, R-E-G-E-L. So she returned to him and to the ark. Couldn't find any place to feel comfortable landing. Oh, I thought you were just making fun of me, sorry. Quick, get all that. I guess that's the only drawback of not being able to see what you're projecting truly with the projector, but anyway. So she returned to him into the ark. You had the wow consecutive, cow and perfect third feminine singular. Shub, to return, S-H-U-B, to him, the preposition with the third masculine singular suffix, L, into the ark, preposition L repeated, definite article, common feminine singular absolute, tabah, T-E-B-A-H, for the water was on the surface of all the earth. Particle key, because, for, the water, K-I-Y, Mayim, M-A-Y-I-M, was understood upon the surface of all the earth. Preposition all, upon. Our word for surface again, face, paneh, P-A-N-E-H. Common masculine singular construct, face of the earth. Definite article, common feminine singular, eretz, E-R-E-T-S. Then he put out his hand and took her. Vowel consecutive, cow and perfect, third masculine singular, our verb shalak. Here, the cow form. The difference between intensity of sending out the birds and receiving it. One's PL, one's cow. S-H-A-L-A-C-H, to put out, reach out. His hand, common feminine singular construct, third masculine singular suffix, yod, a word for hand. Y-A-D, and took her while consecutive Cal Imperfect Third Masculine Singular Suffix LACACH, LACACH, to fetch her or to take her, and brought her into the ark to himself. So she landed on his hand. It's outside the window. Found a perch to land on. While consecutive, to bring his hip L imperfect third masculine singular bow, B-O, go in or bring, brought, here in the past tense, sign of direct object. With the third feminine singular suffix, F, E-T-H, into the ark, preposition L, E-L, definite article, Teba, ark, T-E-B-A-H, and caused to bring her to himself, literally, into the ark. Verse 10, so he waited yet another 7 days. While consecutive verb cal, imperfect third masculine singular, kayal, C-H-A-Y-A-L. Literally, this means in anguish. Should be travail. He waited, T-R-A-I-L-E-L, V-E-L, travail. The nuance, he waited with high anticipation. Still is a preposition ode, O-D. Still or yet, days, seven, another, literally in the Hebrew, the common masculine plural noun, yom, Y-O-M, followed the adjective for seven, masculine singular construct, sheba, S-H-E-B-A, and then the adjective masculine plural absolute, another, aker, acher, A-C-H-E-R. And again, he sent out the dove from the ark, while consecutive are hifil, being causative and perfect third masculine singular, yasaph, Y-A-S-A-P-H. He caused again, he caused a repeat of his actions. To send out is the PL form again of the verb shalach here as an infinitive, S-H-A-L-A-C-H. Sign of direct object, our noun for dove, yona, with a definite article. From the ark, preposition men, definite article, taba. Verse 11. And the dove came to him toward evening, while consecutive, cal imperfect, third feminine singular, here to come, one brought, now to come, bow. See the translation in this context. And came to him, he had the preposition with the third masculine singular suffix L, plus L, came to him, E-L. The dove, again, Hayona, with a definite article. Toward evening, you have the preposition Lamed, with the noun, common both singular construct F, E-T-H, towards the time of evening. Our noun for evening, common masculine singular absolute, Arab, E-R-E-B. And behold, in her beak was a freshly picked olive leaf. Wow conjunction, plus the interjectory particle henna, H-I-N-E-H. Should be two N's. Dogus forte in the middle of the little noon. And behold, or look a leaf. You have the common masculine singular construct aleh, A-L-E-H, a leaf of an olive tree, common masculine singular absolute, zayith, Z-A-Y-I-T-H, of an olive tree, freshly picked is the adjective masculine singular absolute, taraph, T-A-R-A-P-H. In her beak or mouth is at the end of the Hebrew preposition bait, followed with the common masculine singular construct, third feminine singular suffix, or word for mouth. Should be, I don't have it transliterated, it's peh, P-E-H. Obviously for a bird, that's its beak. So Noah knew that the water was abated from the earth. Vowel consecutive, our verb to know here is the Kalim perfect third masculine singular, yada, Y-A-D-A. Makes you wonder if the New York yada, yada, yada comes from the Hebrew. No, no, no. New, see. Anyway. See, I think about other things too. When you're looking at Hebrew all day long, you got to think about something on occasion. It makes your eyes go buggy. So Noah knew, yada, Noah, proper noun, transliterated. That is your conjunction key, K-I-Y. It had abated the water. To abate here is a Kal perfect third common plural, kalal, K-A-L-A-L, we saw earlier, became of little account or lessened, abated. The water, definite article, mayim, M-A-Y-I-M. From the earth, preposition men, followed with the preposition all, M-I-N, plus all. From upon the earth, definite article, eretz, E-R-E-T-S. Verse 12, then he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove. Vowel consecutive, our verb here to wait is a niphal, passive, noting again his patience here. Imperfect third masculine singular, yakal, Y-A-C-H-A-L. And he waited yet or still is our adverb od, O-D. Another 7 days. First you have the adjective masculine singular construct, Sheba, seven, S-H-E-B-A. Days, yom. Another adjective, aker, A-C-H-E-R. And sent out the dove, our verb that we've seen throughout the verses here, to send, again in the PL, shalach, S-H-A-L-C-H, to send out. The dove, definite article, ha-yona. And she did not return to him again. Or but she did not return to him again. Vowel conjunction, negative particle, lo, L-O, or verb, or our verb again is a PL perfect third feminine singular, yasaph, Y-A-S-A-P-H. Return, Kal infinitive construct, our verb shub. Did not again return to him anymore, literally. You have the preposition with the third masculine singular suffix L, to him, E-L, followed with the preposition ode, translated adverb or preposition here, anymore, still, as it might be translated as an adverb. All right. Rereading the verses. Then it came about at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Verse 7, and he sent out a raven. And it went forth, going forth and returning, or it flew here and there, until the water was dried up, Yabesh, from the earth. Verse 8, then he sent out a dove, sent out first an Oreb, and now a Yonah from him, to see if the water was abated from the face of the land, had lessened, become of less account. Verse 9, but the dove, on the first sending, found no resting place for the sole of her foot. So she returned to him into the ark, for the water was on the surface of all the earth. Then he put out his hand and took her and brought her into the ark to himself. Verse 10, so he waited yet another 7 days, here with much anticipation. And again he sent out the dove from the ark. And the dove came to him toward evening. And behold, in her beak was a freshly picked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the water had lessened or abated from the earth. Then he calmly waited, bringing out the Hebrew here, nuances, yet another 7 days, and sent out the dove. But she did not return to him again. All right, the announcements of verses 6 through 12. And you have to bear with me on the chronology. It can get quite confusing. I believe I've got it all straightened out. We're going to have some corrections you'll have to make in this particular set of notes, because they were already printed before I got the notes, and I wasn't going to do that to the printmeister. Anyway, here we go. Point one. After 224 days, which equates to 7 months and 14 days, of verse 5, being the 10th month, or the first day of the month, since the flood began, or 2 months, 14 days after the ark's landing, which is the chronological marker of verse 4 of the 7th month from the 6th month, or from the 2nd month that the flood began, all the way back in chapter 7, verse 11. One can imagine, that's verse 4, verse 5, that's another 2.5 months after the ark landed. One can imagine the passengers' readiness to escape their limited and monotonous confines. Anyone that's ever been within a rigidly confined area can know that after a while, you almost want to beat your head against the walls. Even when one's driving, cruises, you know, just so much can you be, if you will, waterlocked, only a certain area to go, and you're ready to, you know, get out and stretch your legs truly and have freedom. Something about being confined obviously mentally messes with you in that respect. So, 224 days since the floods began, 2.5 months almost, since the ark has landed, they're still on the vessel. And life in and of itself, as each moment, minute, hour, and day passes, could obviously put a strain on the individual. Two, seeing the steady abatement of water could only build anticipation. While there is obviously the hope that they would feel immediately when this ark rests, and you can go and see the anticipation in regards to the fact, oh, the water's finally going down. One's hope, obviously, does get high, and one would be looking then towards ultimate deliverance from that point forward, rather than being in the previous mode of basically hanging on for your life. So, trying to paint you a picture here of what I believe the Hebrew is bringing out for us in regards to Noah. And while the whole situation, obviously, indeed, was a deliverance for them from the wrath of God upon this world, but you got to understand that deliverance was indeed, in and of itself, a test, a real test, in regards to the kind of people, kind of believers they were in waiting upon God to deliver him. And it's not a deliverance that happens overnight. So that's point three. And this is something that you're generally not going to pick up, if you will, in the normal Sunday school theme of Noah and the Ark. These aspects that come out in regards to truly the level of spiritual matriculation and maturity that Noah especially had, and obviously the passengers being with him submitted themselves in like manner in this regards. So point three, while the ark was their salvation, while it was their deliverance, it also was a test. It also was a test. In the concept of being delivered in regards to circumstances, situations in life, one perceives and sees a test that's associated with a deliverance. So forth, for faith rest, obviously, that indeed the ark's going to hold. It's not going to leak. God did shut that door good, did he not? You know, whatever else might be going on in your life, you know, you got to think, they think just like the rest of us do. They have a sin nature just like the rest of us. So, you know, what all was going through their minds, obviously we'll wait to hear that, the story in detail, but certain things you can pick up on of the necessity of application on their part in facing this whole ordeal. So point four, faith rest, to put their trust in God, and to keep it there. Indeed, they're going to survive. Patience, and I mean buku patience. Much patience. The entire family of animals are on this enclosed vessel with his immediate family for over a year, or for a year. And then also, continuing point four, discernment. Were needed for the long haul. To be discerning. Discernment denotes an expertise of tact in regards to evaluating a situation and then acting upon it with that kind of insight, that kind of approach. Believers often lack discernment. Often discernment is just good old common sense in many situations. The common sense you'll find in the Bible, by the way. See. So they're in a situation, as we will bring out, God gave Noah his instructions, but once they're on that ark, we don't hear from God again. Noah doesn't hear from God again until after the earth is completely dry. So Noah is expected, obviously, to utilize his own mental and spiritual faculties to cope and deal with the situation at hand. So it's an ongoing test for them, a solid year. Five, though the flood was abating, which obviously the ark has landed, they have seen the lower mountain range tops, so they know that water's going down. Noah, continuing point five, Noah did not act impulsively or impulsive, leaving the ark until he was sure it was safe for all on board to disembark and rehabitation was feasible. We live in a society that tends to promote lunging in regards to things in life. Your STA is usually pressure enough in that area, but we're bombarded with commercials and commerciality otherwise around us of all the details that are or circumstances, vacations, whatever, you name it, is available. And if you wait, it may not be there any longer. There's a lot of times the innuendos that will be associated with things, etc. You got to have it. You got to have it now, see. Our society especially, has truly grown into this type of mentality in regards to life. Rather than being patient, waiting upon God, etc. For Noah, being the authority in charge of the situation, he took his responsibility, obviously, very seriously. And he did not engage in energy of the flesh. He didn't try to force things to happen and make things happen after the ark landed, in spite of whatever else might have been, you know, stirring up his sin nature otherwise, to get the hell out off that boat. So he needs to make sure, he needs to reconnoiter the situation, evaluate it, accepting his responsibilities in regards to all the other passengers on their behalf to make sure that it's indeed safe, and that once you get off, obviously, then you got to survive. So to inhabit the planet is part of the equation. Six, this would mean the necessity of solid terra firma and a re-emerging of plant life for forage to find food. The animals obviously would need the natural flora to re-establish itself and become plentiful enough for them to survive. So 70, 40 days after seeing the lower mountaintops come into view, Noah, he, quote, opened the window of the ark which he had made. So they landed. He waited 2.5 months still before he finally broke the seal, if you will, the vessel, in the form of the window on the ark, to see the condition, to see what is going on in that respect. So eight, the noun window here, shalom, is the normal Hebrew term looking to the dual purpose of the air vent or exhaust, the tisahar, which simply means noon. He manufactured for the top of the ark per chapter 6, verse 16a. You shall make a tisahar for the ark. They're translated window, but it's a different word than our shalom. Tisahar versus shalom. So nine, while he could view the upper regions around him, his view further below was obviously limited, and hence the necessity to utilize a couple of his fowl, the birds, to reconnoiter for him the situation. So 10, in order to ascertain the ground conditions further, he utilizes two types of birds here, a raven, which is orb, and a dove, also translated pigeon, yona. Eleven, God here reveals the unknown to Noah via birds. With creation, there is knowledge. And you can learn from creation. And creation is useful as an instrument in many aspects of our life in determining proper decisions, paths to take, etc. Here, God has provided for Noah the instruments he needs in order to investigate the situation. And while Noah can't see, he has the kind of animals that can see for him. It can be his eyes, if you will. So in that sense, he reveals the unknown to Noah using these two types of birds, the raven and the dove. 12, that Noah does what sailors have done for centuries before modern technology, using birds to find dry land. That is not a hidden secret, even though now we have radar, your GPS system, run around, let the government follow you all over the place if you want, fine. Not get lost, even though don't ever hang your life on these systems. They can be wrong, by the way. But before that, you had what you had to be able to figure out things. It's one of the interesting things of reading books of old times, etc., to see the ingenuity of mankind in using natural creation and creatures of life, etc., to advance them or help them in regards to circumstances, situations they may be in. So sailors have used birds out in the middle of the ocean, and you see no birds, you know you're a long ways from land. But once birds might start showing up, then you know that there must be some place where they can eventually land for themselves. So 13, now God told them about the corruption on the earth, the plan to destroy all living things, the need to build an ark, and who to take on board, and then and the wind to embark. He gave him all this doctrine directly through direct divine revelation. So 14, all direct communication then halted once Noah is locked inside the ark until the announcement in 8:15 after the flood proffer. Then God once again communicates to Noah, and he tells him, now get off the ark. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, you and your sons, your wives, sons' wives with you, and all the living things, etc. Verses 16 and following. 15, so now Noah must use discernment and patiently explore for any open doors as to when it was safe to embark. God doesn't always just give us that twix of what to do. He gave us a brain computer. He expects us to use it. See? He expects us to use discernment, knowledge, learning things, and applying what you learn in regards to your life. And Noah is on his own, if you will, in that sense, to try to figure out when is it going to be okay to truly get off this ark for all involved. So Noah must now use discernment, point 15 again, and patiently explore for any open doors as to when it was safe to disembark. 16, as it is, God will again directly give him the green light. And this teaches that God has perfect timing for deliverance from our tests, and obviously providing us with our blessings. So as it is, God will again directly give him the green light his directed will in verse 15. And this teaches that God has perfect timing for deliverance from our tests, providing us with our blessings. So 17, to discern that timing. How do you know when God's timing is right? As a believer otherwise, obviously God doesn't come down and directly communicate with us. So discern that timing, point 17, demands that the believer utilize their present resources, what God has provided and made available at any given point in time of our lives, in the physical world and spiritual, to ascertain, continuing point 17, available avenues for application or opportunity. And then let God's directed will determine the validity of pursuit or restraint. To be discerning, looking for God's will in the matter. We use what resources we have. And we use it in application. We make the applications of doctrine, otherwise, in our lives. And go about our daily lives in that respect. At no time is God's will going to come in and compromise the doctrine for you in regards to giving you a green light in regards to life. So, Bible doctrine, obviously, is the standard, the guideline, by which we know how far or what we can or can't do with the natural resources that we have in order to ascertain truly God's will in the matter and looking for His perfect timing. Even when one may have the resources, let's say financially, to do many things in their life or anything, they have that kind of money. Does that necessarily mean that it's God's will for them to go out and do anything? No. Discernment. Recognizing one's priorities. Here for Noah, his priority is his life and the passengers' lives. And then to utilize what he can in order to see when it's clear to move on, and God's will for them to then, obviously, make the great escape from their ark. Pursuing things in life. Why would God have you pursue something that is going to violate Hebrews 10:25? I ask you that question, so that you can ask others who are violating Hebrews 10:25 the same question if they want to try to rationalize it and give you their excuses. Now you may test us, but it's not going to be habitual in regards to one's assembly, MPR, and life in that respect. But people are going to do what people are going to do. They're going to make their tree one way or the other. They're going to show up or they're not. So. So discern the timing of God, point 17 again, demands that the believer utilize our present resources to ascertain available avenues for application or opportunity, and then let God's directive will determine the validity of pursuit or restraint. Obviously, if you have financial obligations, God's not going to open the door and have you go out and commit yourself financially where then you are going to be not able to meet your other financial obligations. See, that's common sense. That's discernment. You pay people what they're due. Then let God open and close doors otherwise. So 18, God will then intercede, opening the doors in perfect timing, recognizing that He's always in control of circumstances, situations in life. And He will provide at the right time. Waiting on one's right opposite number, kids, jobs, things of this nature. Obviously, if one is not utilizing their resources that God's giving them, which could make something available otherwise, then that's not God's fault. If you don't get the goal, you don't attain the goal that you're after. Not always is God's will for us, regards to professions and relationships, etc., exactly what we think it will be or what we necessarily want in some cases. So you got to be sensitive to that. But I'm here to tell you, if you are, you wait, let God bless you with it at His perfect timing. How it all works out in the long run will be a boon in regards to your life in and of itself. And you go, wow, yeah, that was right. Now, I would have never thought it. I'd never thunk it. Now, I probably have related this before. You know, there was a time in my life, finances were shorter. You know, how am I going to make ends meet? God opened the doors for a second job that I looked at financially. This isn't going to make the ends meet. But obviously God opened that door. The person pursued me on the job. No interference with Bible class whatsoever because they're on doctrine. And don't ask me how I was able to pay the bills from then on out, because it happened. You just don't know. God can work in different ways. What God is looking for is your obedience to His will in regards to matters. And that's where a lot of Christians have a big STA hump they can't get over sometimes. To them, it has to be what they've conjured up based on the pressures of the cosmos and others around them, etc., what they think is so damn important in life. Now, what God's looking for is someone who's going to perform His will for their lives and to be that sensitive to God. See? Asked me 40 years ago, can you be a pastor teacher at a church in Cleveland, Ohio? What do you think about that? You're crazy. And I'm not, obviously you know me by now, I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm giving you an example in regards to just being sensitive. Recognize my gift, all right, this is what it is. Let God open the doors. Don't have to pursue nothing. Bingo. You go, thanks God. I mean, thanks God. The humor. Yeah. Obviously, most of us can relate. Been on doctrine as long as many of us have been on doctrine to the very thing that's going on. But what really stood out to me here in doing this, in looking at Noah, is this application of patience that he had in his life. And perseverance. To wait upon God, in spite of the fact that it might have been feasible even for him to get out earlier, a little earlier than what God said. But he didn't. See, he was not going to compromise God's will for his life. Now you may ask, well, how do you know that he knew God was going to talk to him again? Well, that's a moot point. Who cares? God did. Just like you walk in Bible class, you've got a problem in life. How do you know that God, the Holy Spirit, is going to give you the answer that you need to have to hear the thing that you need to hear? It happens all the time. See? People tell you that. Pastor don't know. Sometimes. So 19, what can't be missed in these verses is Noah's diligence of seeking the right application, waiting upon God for ultimate direction. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten these things in Jesus' name. Amen.